It's time to get rambling with your host of the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast, Nick Pearl. What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Nick Pearl, and I'm sorry I've been gone for a month. It's been a while, man, without an episode, and that's kind of crazy. I've never taken this long of a break before, but it's justifiable because I started a new job. I was trying to figure out what day works for the podcast. I would come home, I'd sit at the computer, go to record it, and then the episode would get deleted. I guess it just wasn't meant to be that night. I would come home expecting to work on a podcast, and then I got to go out and do something for work. We have a lot of crazy things that are going to be coming up, and I'm going to tell you about that right now. First of all, last week I popped on Zoom and had a very fun conversation with an LPW, Legacy Pro Wrestling Superstar. I'm not going to tell you who it is just yet because I did not get the teaser trailer posted. Once that goes up, expect the episode a couple of days after that. We had a very nice conversation, really nice guy. And I'm sure everybody is going to enjoy that episode when it does drop. There's another episode that I got cooking with somebody who actually owns a wrestling company. He bought it in Canada. He reached out to me, so we're trying to see if we can make that work very soon. Also on tap, I will be going to SummerSlam in August. And actually in a week and a half now, I'm going to Texas. I'll be there for All In. That's the craziest thing I've ever done, by the way, in my whole life. There's no possible way 2 years ago you could have gotten me to go on a plane willingly to go to a state across the country that I've never been to before in my entire life for a wrestling show just to hop on the plane the next day and come home. Now, Eamon and I made this decision at 1 o'clock in the morning one day, so we weren't exactly thinking. He had the late night shift. It's happening. We have a flight to Texas July 12th and a flight home July 13th. We're literally going to be there for a day and a half. So I could go on and on all about that trip coming up, but I'm going to hold off and then we'll have the Texas vlog coming out. We have some very fun plans. We're trying to get as much done as we can in that day and a half that we're there. So Texas is going to be exciting. AW All In. I can't wait. This show's going to be nuts. Please don't screw Hangman. We need Hangman to beat Moxley or I'm going to be absolutely livid. Okay? We'll be livid. I'm not going all the way across the country to see Moxley retain. I'm going across the country to see shenanigans and to see Hangman win that belt again. He never had a fair shot with that belt. Punk came in, screwed up everything, but it actually helped Hangman's character arc. It needs to happen. We need a new champion, please and thank you. SummerSlam is going to be me and Chris Angelo. I'm very excited for this. We're going to both nights. We're chilling out in Jersey for a weekend. We'll hit up the mall. We're going to have a good time. A lot of fun things coming up, man. I'm so excited. Now that all that is out of the way, I need to talk about John Cena. And let's just go right to what's been going on with him. We had R-Truth, now Ron Killings, but they won't call him Ron Killings on TV. They still call him R-Truth. You brought him back. Well, you got rid of him. Then you brought him back. Had a one-on-one with John Cena. And they ended it in disqualification. And now Ron Cena. He's no longer in that same spotlight that he was. It's like everybody was so excited to see him. Oh my God, he's back. Yes, give him a chance against Cena. Give him a fair shot. They're finally presenting R-Truth as a legitimate main eventer. Like for the first time since 2011 when he was 2012 when he had his only heel run in the WWE. I mean, not 2002. I don't remember if he was a heel as K-Quick or not. But he's finally back. He's got that edge. And now he's background character because you guys got to realize Triple H has had these plans booked for probably over a year. Now, I know Cena goes out of his way and he says, week by week. If the fans are booing, then we'll do something different. If they're cheering, we'll do something different. You can't go and tell me that we don't know who's going to beat Cena. I'm sure that's handpicked already. I know Roman Reigns had the belt and they didn't know who was going to take it off him. But Cena's on his final run. God forbid something goes wrong. Cena gets hurt. They need a backup plan. I don't know what they're going to do. But my point in saying this is R-Truth, Ron Cena, Ron Killings, whatever you're going to call him, they wanted to put him in the main event spotlight for a little bit because the crowd wanted it. We don't know what kind of contract he has right now. And then he's pushed out, like, immediately. Like, I don't understand why they had that match, him and Cena, ended a DQ. And now Truth sees him feuding with Aleister Black? Why is this happening? Aleister Black's supposed to be on the up and up. He's another guy that WWE brought back. He has a great presentation, but where is he going from here? He's in that same spot that he's been in his entire WWE career, the mid-card, but he has the opportunity to go to the main event, but he doesn't fit in. It's like, I feel like Andrade doesn't even fit in. Rusev at least finally starting to fit in on Raw. He's had a banger against Sheamus. I just do not like that Ron Cena, I'm just going to keep calling him that, I get a kick out of it, he was in main event spot, and then he's not all of a sudden, and now they're building something with Aleister Black. I mean, Aleister must not have had anything planned. Triple H has all of his long-term plans, and then it will go week by week. It doesn't work. Nobody's going to get over. I'm telling you that because I know for a fact nobody's going to get over. It's just so dumb. They never should have gotten rid of Truth in the first place, and he would be in that same exact spot that he was. Now that he's back, they had to change him up. He doesn't fit in now. They need to find a spot for him because people want to see him. He's very talented. If this is actually his retirement run, I bought the shirt. I got his Ron Cena, the final time is now shirt. I should have worn it for this, but I'm wearing a Cody Rhodes Finish the Story tank. I need Truth to be on TV more. I would have liked for him to, maybe in this last run he gets a title, but we'll see what's in the cards with that. But John Cena, looking towards SummerSlam, he doesn't have to worry about Truth, because Truth's just off doing his own thing now. It's looking like SummerSlam, I don't believe we're going to get the rematch that looks most possible right now, Cena versus Cody 2. I really don't want to see that again. It was fun at WrestleMania when I was there. I went crazy. Crowd was nuts for it. Apparently it didn't translate on TV. I apologize for that. You guys didn't enjoy as much as us. I don't want to see it again in Jersey. I would love to see, however, a Fatal 4-Way, which is entirely possible. You got John Cena. You've got Randy Orton, CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes. And that's all fine and dandy, because that would be delicious. Chef's kiss. Except now it looks like Punk is going to be going after Gunther, which is also exciting. I'm very excited for that one. I don't want to see the rematch. WWE just been doing tons of rematches, and I'm over it. I'm just so over it. So hopefully they start doing Cena's retirement run better. Once he had the pipe bomb with Punk, that was a good segment. It was tough for me to take seriously, because when Punk's laying in the middle of the ring with a Slim Jim table, you snapped into the table, stupid slogan by the way, and Cena's cutting this old-timer promo in the corner, who are you supposed to focus on, Cena or the Slim Jim? I hate that they're trying to take the money, just however they can get the money. Like, tables should not have sponsors on them. Ladders shouldn't have sponsors on them. Yeah, the Fireball ladder and freaking Money in the Bank. The briefcase was sponsored by Cash App. Why do we need to do this? There's no reason. You have money. You're a big-time company. I don't need to see all this freaking advertising. But that's what WWE is all about now. They're all about making money. And that's what John Cena wants to do on this last run. Because every single place he goes to, every arena, he's got a brand new t-shirt. He's got a brand new championship belt, brand new wristband, brand new hat. It's all a money grab. That's literally what this John Cena retirement run is. Now that we got John Cena out of the way, let's look at the New Day. The New Day just lost the tag titles back to the Judgment Day. I don't know why the Judgment Day needs another run. I didn't get a chance to see this match on Raw. I heard they were baby faces now. Good for them. But why do they need the belts again? It's like a constant cycle with the Judgment Day. I'm not complaining, though, because the matches should be good. Now the dynamic's a little different. JD, people tend to like JD McDonough now, the former Jordan Devlin. I like that name better than JD McDonough. But the New Day, they had an all-timer segment kicking Big E out of the group, if he ever wrestles again, remains to be seen. The New Day always said that they would never break up. They were always going to stick together. Big E gets hurt, they got to pivot. Now you got Kofi and Woods, the biggest heels in your company, taking Big E out, throwing him out to trash. The New Day then goes on to WrestleMania to win the tag titles in a lackluster match, probably the worst match on the whole, both nights of the card, which is crazy to me because the tag division's kind of been solid on Raw and SmackDown. New Day then had the belts, and they dropped the belts. I couldn't tell you what happened during this run at all, really. So now what? What are they going to do? You going to just ship them off to SmackDown? We're getting a draft. They think a draft would be very nice about now. You need new people. Like, you got rid of half of your women in the last set of releases. We need to refresh. We don't need Rhea Ripley in the world title scene versus Io Sky every week. We don't need Tiffany Stratton versus Nia Jax every week. The SmackDown Tag Team Division, they have like five or six solid teams, but we need to freshen things up. I'm glad you got the Wyatts back. DIY is great. Pretty Deadly's out. That's kind of a big hit on them. You know, that they were doing pretty good things too. You got Fraxium now on SmackDown. SmackDown's doing a lot better than Raw. Raw's got the New Day. They got the Viking Raiders. War Raiders now. Sorry. Who else does Raw have? I don't know. But I bet the Usos is what they're leading up to. The Usos versus the New Day. And they'll probably hotshot that. Could they do it at SummerSlam? Possibly. Or maybe that's the WrestleMania match. I'm sure they're going to go back to that. And I understand that they've had millions of matches. But the difference between the New Day and the Usos having matches over and over again and other people is that they always do something different. I'm totally fine with a best of seven series, like how Sheamus did with Cesaro. We haven't really gotten a best of seven series. We had what was it, the Young Bucks were in the best of seven series with, what was it, the Death Triangle? I think it was. That's the other best of seven series that we've had. So let's bring it back. The people want it. Moving to something that people want and we're getting, but people are not happy about now, we got Evolution 2. Now, I was at Evolution 1, and that show was my first pay-per-view that I ever attended. We went with the cousins and Tim and Jay. We all went as a family, pretty much. That was a crazy show. I would have loved to go to the second one. The thing is, the WWE likes to have control of every single freaking thing, every single day, every single show. They want to have control. AEW is having the biggest show of the year and All In on July 12th. WWE says, oh, let's run two shows on July 12th, and then we'll run one on the 13th, and we'll do, SmackDown on Friday. You know, we got NXT people on TNA on Thursday. They just throw whatever they can out there to just put it all out, counter all of AEW's big programming. It's just ridiculous. I would have loved to watch Evolution 2 live, but I'll be on the plane coming home, probably from the better wrestling show out of the whole time. Like, how could you go to watch Saturday night's main event to see Gunther versus Goldberg over Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega? You could watch Gunther and Goldberg wake up early. It'll be a 6-minute match. You catch that whole thing. You don't got to watch that live. You're not going to get that magical moment. You'll get the shocker moment that they're going to show for years and years to come, like with Brock and Goldberg at WrestleMania and how their match was like a 5-minute classic. Gunther could definitely pull that off. I just hate that they're stacking the Saturday night's main event just because they don't want people to watch All In. You got the Great American Bash happening. That's another thing that pisses me off. NXT is supposed to be a developmental brand. And what they've been doing, people praise it. They could pray. You could praise it all you want. You could praise NXT. Say it's the best thing ever. Look, these are some people that have never been on TV or have been on TV for a very minimal amount of time. You got guys like Jasper Troy, who I think he just won WWE LFG. He's now in the main event scene on NXT. Over guys that have been there for years. Why is Wes Lee not in that spot? Why? I couldn't even tell you other guys' names. Like Javon Evans is another guy. They need to rebuild this brand. They don't have a main event men's scene. Their tag division's falling apart. Their women's division's being held together by like three top stars. You just got rid of Julia, Roxanne Perez, and Stephanie Vaquer. Jordynne Grace is going to be following soon. I do not expect her to beat JC Jane at the Great American Bash for... No, wait. What the frick is she having this match? Is it Evolution? Yeah, sorry. It's Evolution. I don't expect Jordynne Grace to beat JC Jane at Evolution. I do expect Mariah May, also known as Blake Monroe now, to win that. I thought WWE would have said, nah. Great American Bash. Blake Monroe gonna win the NXT Championship while Toni Storm is wrestling Mercedes Moné. That's what I would have seen happening. Thank God they didn't do it. But like, you're bringing in, I think the women's division's okay. They're starting to bring up some of the younger girls that can, they're giving them a chance. Good, it's good. But you can't expect to sell out big arenas. Something that I noticed, and I saw this on Twitter. When it comes to NXT, if you look at the ticket sales, NXT more often than other shows, more often than not even, they'll have a venue and they won't sell tickets and they got to move to the performance center. It's happened a couple of times and they'll sell out maybe one side of the arena. That's what happens when you run the same venue in the performance center. Give out free tickets. You do this every single week. You're in the performance center. You should be teaching people how to perform. It's not ever going to be like it was the original Black and Gold days when you got Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, all them. It's never going to be back to that point. But you need to understand that we're past NXT 1.0. We're past NXT 2.0. Thank God, by the way. This is NXT 3.0. It's a different version. You have a ton of up-and-coming stars who need to learn the ropes. When you got somebody like Obafemi at the front of the line, or you got Stephanie Vaquer when she was there, you didn't have other people that were viable options to beat them. But when you needed them to drop the belts, let's throw somebody in there randomly, see if they can sink or swim. JC Jane, I was very unhappy that she beat Stephanie, but now I understand why it happened, and she's probably the best pick for them to be the backbone of NXT for the time being, until obviously Blake Monroe beats her for the belt. And they already started building that feud when they had the contract signing for her. JC put her through a table. Tag Team Champions Hank and Tank was absolutely wild when they won the belts at Stand and Deliver in Vegas. Now what are they doing? Oh, and by the way, oh, this is the dumbest thing out of them all. So you had Yoshiki Nomura. He pinned the TNA World's Champion in Trick Williams, which meant that Yoshiki would have a title opportunity against Trick Williams. Yoshiki said, nah, I'm going to give it to my partner. So Josh Briggs ended up having the match against Trick Williams. Was it anything special? No, it really wasn't. Josh Briggs hasn't done it for me since he had that 5-star classic at Stand and Deliver like 2 years ago. It was him, Dijak, and Oba. One of the best, my favorite matches of all time. Josh Briggs just has not been hitting it with for me. And he loses that match. And now Yoshiki and Nomura has to go for another title opportunity, but this time it's for Obafemi. The thing is, he's versing Jasper Troy, who just lost to Obafemi, but now it's a number one contenders match, so does it even matter if, what you win or lose? It doesn't matter. And the fact, even look on Raw, you had Rhea Ripley come out, and Io's like, I want to face the best at Evolution. Rhea Ripley, it's going to be you. And they're having a battle royal at Evolution, decide the next challenger after that. Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. You can't say one thing, I'm going to give this one a title shot, and then be like, no, you need to win a battle royal. It's like the Royal Rumble. Oh, you win the Royal Rumble, you get one of the main event championship matches at WrestleMania. Good for you. Or you could win the Elimination Chamber, or I handpicked you as my opponent. It's so stupid. It's just so stupid. Where's the logic? I just want logic. But yeah, those are my issues with NXT. It's never going to live up to the hype of Raw. It's never going to live up to the hype of SmackDown. Thank God SmackDown's back for 2 hours now, by the way. NXT is NXT. If you want to watch it, it's supplemental. Yes, you could have some main event guys come down to help your lower card talent get better. At the end of the day, they're there to learn. So stop trying to sell out arenas. Shawn Michaels likes to go for the surprise factor. I'm all down for that. But you need to build your people up before you throw them to the wolves. Let's see what's going on in NXT right now. Like, you know it's a problem when I'm scrolling through Twitter and I'm on wrestling Twitter and you don't even see anything from NXT. This happened like a couple of weeks ago either. I was like, what even happened? Did who won the NXT Heritage Cup? Did Tony D win it or did Stax? I had to Google it to see that Stax won the cup. So the only other things that I'm seeing here is Miles Bourne got a new theme song. Good for him. Oh, and Luca Crucifino leaves the Tony D'Angelo family, but it's not turning heel. He's going on his own, which he's been on his own anyway in Evolve. That's all I've seen, and the show's been going on for over an hour. I have not seen a single other thing. It's just whatever at this point, though. But that's about all I have to say. I rambled a lot. I had a lot to get off of my chest on this one. So I've been your host, Nick Pearl. Tune in to the next episode where it will be featuring Legacy Pro Wrestling star. I'm not going to tell you right now. You thought I was going to tell you. Nope, not yet. You just got to wait and find out who it is with all, like, everybody else that's listening and watching. Big announcement actually coming up. I'll do it right now. WWE Unreal on Netflix. Stay tuned for episode 4. So all I'll say, I've been your host, Nick Pearl, and I'll catch you on the next one. Let's keep rambling, everybody.